divorce. The severing of relationships. The death of a loved one. Financial hardship, the foreclosure of a home, the darkness of depression, the emptiness of a miscarriage. These and many more are the trials some of us are facing right now, or some of us will face in the future. And the pain of these trials tend to train all our focus upon this present moment of pain. As we reel from the injuries calamity has brought to us. And for most of us, it is very difficult to see beyond our pain. Because pain can be tantalizing and paralyzing. Especially emotional and mental pain. Pain that you can't account for. Have you ever had that kind of pain? A deep sorrow that seems to have no obvious source. Unjustified anger in the absence of any identifiable foe. A sense of dread and fear when there appears to be nothing to fear. In the moment, have you ever had that kind of trouble? That in itself can be a trial. And so what do? We batter down the hatches of our care-filled minds. We monitor our pain as we look within ourselves to find the answers, to find the key to our deliverance. To find the answer and the response to our ominous situation. And we monitor ourselves, we watch our every emotional move, naming every emotion, logging every interior change in our mood and in our attitude, testing to see if it is now safe for us to resume the life that we once knew. And this becomes our only goal and our primary focus and aim, to survive beyond the pains of this life. To outlast the demons that haunt our existence and to safely and efficiently return to a state of normalcy. And this is the traditional way of dealing with the struggles of life that has been passed down to us from our most ancient ancestors, to meet every moment of temporary resistance with fortitude and with resilience. To fight back against the darkness of this world with fervor and even with rage. To shake our fist at any sign of mortality, courageously asserting our wills against the invisible will of life and of nature. But this is the way of the Gentiles. This is the way of the unbeliever. To navigate around every obstacle and to rage against the wind until the wind stops howling. And then to crown themselves masters over the elements of life. That is the way of the Gentile. But in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, James advises believers to pursue a different tact. A strategy that is in keeping with the heroes of the faith. He says that we should consider it all joy. Consider it. Present tense. It means that we should do it now. Right now. While the wound is still fresh and the pain of life is most acute, right now. In the midst of the storm, in the cradle of stress and the cauldron of anguish, right now. We should consider it all joy. not partially joyous, not part joy and part sorrow, but all joy. Completely joyous through and through. James says we should consider it to be an occasion for gladness. Well, what should we consider an occasion for gladness? When we encounter various trials, to encounter, to stumble upon, or to fall into. Consider it all joy when we are surprised by suffering. Consider it all joy when we are set back on our heels by some unforeseen disappointment, some unforeseen disaster. Consider it joy. You're walking down the street, looking into your favorite store, looking through the windows, and suddenly your foot slips into an open manhole. And you shout out in pain because you're up to your waist in a manhole. Onlookers calling the ambulance. You begin to gradually come back to your senses. James says, as soon as you come back to your senses, while your foot is still dangling in the hole of life, immediately retreat into a state of joy. Before the doctor gives you that strong medication, you should think to yourself, with your leg still in the hole, wow, what a privilege. This accident is a reason for me to rejoice. This calamity is a joy for me to experience. Because every pain that the believer will encounter in this life serves as a question. And it is a question that each of us should be eager to answer. James explains that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Every trial that the believer experiences in this life is a test of our endurance, a test of our faith. But you may ask the question, don't unbelievers experience the same things, divorce and all kinds of calamity? Don't they suffer from the same things just like us? So what's the difference between their suffering and our suffering? And of course, the answer to the question is yes, yes. Unbelievers undergo many of the same challenges believers face. Trouble is distributed in this world among the just and the unjust alike. But it is not the type of trial that sanctifies the believer's test from the unbelievers. It is the purpose of the trial that sets our suffering apart. It is the question that our struggles ask that make our struggles so unique. When the unbeliever stumbles into that manhole, the question that life poses to him or to her is, are you strong enough to bounce back from this? Do you have what it takes? Are you going to cave in to this pressure, to this pain? Will you be able to muddle through? Do you have the internal resources? Do you have a backup plan? Are you going to be resilient? Those are the questions that life asks of the unbeliever. But the only question that life's troubles ask of the believer is simply this. Do you still believe? Even after this devastating episode, do you still believe? For the believer, every trial is a test of faith. No matter the specifics, no matter the gravity of the pending despair, the question is always the same. Unfortunately, very often when we go through our trials, we focus on the wrong questions. We approach our trials as a test of our resilience. We interpret the storms of life as a test of our human fortitude, so we turn to man-made remedies to alleviate our sufferings, and we fail to address the essential question that is being posed to us. The question is, even after this, do you still believe? Do you still believe in the providence of God even after this? Do you still believe that Christ is with you even after this? Do you still believe that all things work together for good even in this? Because if you still believe, you can endure. If you still believe, your faith will give you the ability to endure whatever pain life brings your way. It is not the application of my will. It is not the application of my self-defenses that help me to endure. It is not the incorporation of my logic or my appeals to justice that give me the strength to carry on. It is the immediate application of my faith that produces endurance in my heart. So that my trouble right now should induce joy right now because of my faith right now, which gives me endurance right now and through the conclusion of my trial. And this is the case, brothers and sisters, with every believer. Now, when you take a test, sometimes a 70% is required to pass the test. Sometimes 80% is required to pass the test. But James seems to assume here that every believer will pass the testing of their faith. And he's right to assume it. Because in the kingdom of God, the requirements to pass the test of faith ranges from 0.00001% all the way up to 100%. In other words, the genuine believer can never fail the test of faith. Maybe you enter into your trial full of faith, but it only lasts for a couple days. Maybe you enter into your trial with just a little faith, and over time your faith grows. Maybe you're so paralyzed by the weight of the burden that you're carrying that you implode at the first sign of trouble. The Bible says that to each of us is given a measure of faith. And the measure of your faith will correlate with the level of your endurance. No matter, so long as you exercise what little faith you have, you still make the grade. Every true believer passes every test of faith. James assumed that every believer will ultimately make the grade, even though our grades may vary. For those of us who are wavering in our faith, our endurance will be imperfect. But James admonishes us that when we're going through various trials, we should strive for a perfect score. He says in verse 4 that we must let endurance have its perfect result. To say it another way, James is saying, let your faith take you all the way through your trial. Do not depend on, do not lean on anything or anyone else. Begin with faith and end with faith in God. Consistent faith. And consistent faith is the hallmark of the mature believer. And this is the perfect result that James is envisioning for you and for me when he says that we should let patience have its perfect result. Because the perfect result of endurance produces a perfected you. And that's the goal of every test of faith, to make you perfect. That's what James says. He says that if endurance has its perfect result in you, you will become perfect. Now don't fret about this. James is not saying that you're going to do everything perfectly. James is saying that you will be initiated. James is saying that if you allow endurance to have its perfect work in you, that you will become more mature. The genuineness of your faith is the hallmark of the mature believer. It is not the abundance of your faith, it is not the strength of your faith that determines your spiritual maturity. It is the genuineness of your faith, the authenticity of your faith, the purity of your faith that defines your spiritual progress. And if you maintain your level of faith, whether great or small, all the way through to the end of your trial, you can be considered a mature believer. By who? By Christ himself, because only Christ knows whether you stood firm until the end. And not only will you become mature, you will also, James says, you will be made complete. You will be made whole again. You will become a well-rounded follower of Jesus Christ, a more balanced believer who respects your limitations but is always open to being stretched. You will be purged of those extremes that lead to dead ends and to strivings within. You will no longer need everything to be so black and white, but you will become comfortable with the grays of life. You will become perfect. You will be made complete. James finally says, you will lack nothing. Because a mature, well-rounded believer, as a mature, well-rounded believer, you will come to realize and experience the abundance that is the kingdom of God in your heart. No matter what may be going on the outside, you will feel lack of nothing. You will be able to suffer being degraded. You will know how to live in abundance. You will be fine as the head, but you can also be the tail. You will grow beyond situational faith into a faith that thrives in all seasons of life. Pray God that our faith would be perfected in us. Through divorce and severing of relationships, through the death of a loved one, through financial hardships, through the foreclosure of a home, through the darkness of depression and anxiety, and even through the emptiness of a miscarriage. And when you allow yourself to see who you are becoming in Jesus Christ in the midst of your trial, when you see who you are becoming in Jesus Christ in the midst of your struggle and because of your struggle, this will give you reason to rejoice right now. The song says there will be joy in the morning. But James says, count it all joy today. I'm not waiting till the morning. I have joy right now in the midst of it all, in the midst of my trouble, in the midst of my pressure, and in the midst of my pain. Count it all joy now. Does my struggle feel good? No, it doesn't feel good. But I walk by faith and not by sight. I may not, let me say this. I may not have a smile on my face. Don't misunderstand me. My house isn't getting foreclosed on and I'm running around smiling and laughing. That's not joy. I guess that's happiness. I'm talking about joy. That spiritual joy. That peace within, even in the midst of my storm. That confidence that when I come out on the other side, I'm going to be better than I ever was before. This kind of joy that is able to see beyond the grave, to see myself in a new light. Yeah. This should be the practice of every believer. The moment that trouble meets you at your doorstep, this should be your regular routine. As soon as the drama starts, as soon as the trouble comes, as soon as I feel the intensity of my struggle, I don't look at my problem. I don't look at my pain. I look beyond my pain and say, wow, when I come out of this, I'm going to be made perfect. I've got something to look forward to. Yeah, man. In the midst of it all, I'm not crying and I'm not focusing on what might have been. I'm not focusing on what should be. I am confident of this, that every one of my trials is a test of my faith, and the question is always the same. Calvin, do you believe? I took your house. Calvin, do you still believe? You got cancer. Calvin, do you still believe? Pray God that my answer is always yes. I still believe. I have confidence in Jesus Christ. All of my life is for him. Whether I'm alive or if I die, absent from the body, present with the Lord, I will rejoice and I will have joy even in the midst of my pain. James is teaching an important lesson there. It's a lesson that we get over and over again from the Old Testament all the way through the book of Revelation. The lesson is always the same. Noah demonstrated it, Moses demonstrated, Abraham demonstrated, Jesus Christ himself, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, and despised the shame. Yeah. How did he do that? Because he wasn't looking at the cross. He was looking beyond the cross. I'm going to suffer now, but there will be joy in the morning. In fact, there's joy right now. I'm not afraid. Let the world do to me what it wills. I will not back down. I will not step down from my place in Jesus Christ. And every trouble, every struggle, every challenge, whether great or small, will work together for my good because I love the Lord. And my answer is always yes. Pray that yours is the same. Count it all joy. Let's pray. Father, you are the God who sees and knows all things, and all power is in your hands. We recognize, Lord, that we must go through this life like every other human being. But we also know, Lord, that our trials, our struggles, our pain is sanctified because we are sanctified in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Even right now, this very moment, the question is being asked of some of us right here in this room. Do you still believe? Are you still willing to move forward with Jesus Christ? Have you lost your confidence? Do you still believe? You've been disappointed. You've been bruised. You've been beaten. You've been battered. You've suffered all kinds of losses. Do you still believe? And some of us, Lord God, because of religion, we're saying yes with our lips, but no with our hearts. We're losing confidence and we're going down fast. I pray for us today, Lord, that you'd restore the joy of our salvation, that you'd renew a right spirit within each of us, that you would strengthen us in our faith, that you would heal our brokenness, that you would mend our hearts, that you would make us whole and perfect us in our faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We only have a little faith, Lord Jesus, but that little faith that we have, we commit to you. Help us to go through our trials, Lord, maintaining and sustaining the level of faith, the measure of faith that you have given to each of us. Help us to be genuine in our faith and in our belief. Help us to not back down, no matter how hot the fire may be, no matter what life brings our way. May our answer always be yes and amen. By your Spirit and in Jesus' name, amen.